Some legends are told, some turn from darkness to gold. You will remember me for centuries. The name's Gambit, mon ami. Remember it. Man, growing up watching X-Men, the animated series, hey, that's one of my favorite lines. The name's Gambit. Remember it. Okay. And I'm not going to lie, once I saw that this title said, remember it, I'm like, oh, they finally going to get some Gambit action, because who else could they be possibly referring to with remember it, okay? Then I'm like, but damn, the meaning of that, remember it, remember what? He's about to do something memorable that's going to possibly send him to another dimension. Maybe I felt like it was going to be some type of sacrifice, but I'm like, okay. But I'm like, dang, it didn't have to take his life, man. Why'd they have to kill him? Why'd they have to kill him? Y'all remember that? Bone Thugs and Harmony? Crossroads? The original Crossroads that's on the East 1999 album? But damn, why'd you have to kill him? Man, it was epic, man. Episode 5, remember it, was... Man, that's one of the greatest animated episodes of any animated show I have ever seen in my life. I mean, I'm thinking real hard right now. Well, I don't have to think real hard on it. I mean, that's the truth. That's the fact. Because it's the critical impact that it has on me, man. Episodes 3 and 4, I kept saying, hey, man, where the hell's Gambit? Where's Gambit? Like, hey. What's going on here, man? Where's Gambit? Like, I'm not saying he should have dominant screen time, but where's my boy? Where my boy at, man? Come on. Like, he got a lot of stuff going on, man. Where my boy? Like, the episode when they had Sinister in it, I thought that was a dope episode, but I'm like, he didn't even do anything. Everybody else fought against their dream or nightmare. He did nothing. Not because he did not want to do nothing. It's because... The writers wouldn't let him cook. They was acting like Gene. They wouldn't let him cook, you know? And boy, boy, boy. Yeah. Like, man, dude had some epic moments, man. Like, man, hey, shout out to Gambit. Shout out to Magneto, who I've been pissed off with. Shout out to Rogue, I guess. Shout out to Leech, man. Shout out to Nightcrawler. Shout out to all of them. But, you know what I'm saying? Gambit, man, that was epic. So check this out, man. Like, Leech. Let me tell you something about Leech, man. Leech is a child. And I know he looks green and he's alien and stuff. And we look nothing alike. But that doesn't mean I can't have any sympathy for the young lad. And the eyes... Those are the innocence of children's eyes. You ever have, I don't know if you have kids, but even if you don't have kids, you may have a younger sibling, younger cousin, or you may babysit for a kid, and let's say you're watching a scary movie, or let's say him or her had a bad dream, and they run up to you, and they grab your leg or whatever, and they just, it's like you don't even, words can't even fully describe everything, but it's just their facial expression, and you know, hey, listen, it's going to be okay. You just want to say, hey, it's going to be okay. It was a lot of those situations with Leech. Hey, it's going to be okay. And unfortunately, Leech got a dose of reality. I'm not saying he never had any... He never had this dose of reality, but not to this level before. You know, where it's like, it's going to be okay until it's not okay. But think about it when you Leech. You're like, man, I'm not in the sewers or whatever. You know, I'm a Morlock. Whatever, but we're not in the sewers no more. You know, Magneto say, we will never have to be afraid again. You know, we're going to be on the island of Genosha with our own kind. You know, got these mutants. Hey, we got each other's back, yo. Who's going to do something to us? Who wants some? You know, Lord have mercy. Lord pity the people who try to come in here and mess with us, right? And yeah, Lord pity the people. But what happens when those people are sentinels, man? I mean, what happens instead of people? Those are sentinels who attacks relentlessly, dude. relentless. That whole scene, man, where Leech was like, yeah, he was telling other Morlocks, yeah, Magneto, he coming to help us, he gonna save us. And I forgot the old girl's name. She said, nah. Now she said, Magneto and Callisto. Callisto was either just unconscious or dead. Callisto was down. A lot of them was down. And she was like, nah, Magneto is not worried about us like that and all that. And he said, well, if he doesn't save us, the X-Men will. Yeah, the X-Men, they ain't gonna really rock with us like that or whatever, you know. And then you see, I don't know, was that Master Mode or whatever, that the three-headed Sentinel? I guess it was. But anyways, all of a sudden you see this Sentinel head coming and getting ready to blast them. See the terror on Leech's face, on everybody else's face. But I'm paying attention to Leech because I'm thinking about my kids, you know. And I'm like, oh, man, oh, boy. And I'm like, they're not about to let Leech go down like that. And Magneto about to come save them. But Magneto was already occupied. Somebody's coming to save him. All right. And boom, Gambit comes. I'm like, hell yeah. That's my boy. That's my boy. That's my dog. That's my dog. Remy LeBeau, what's up? What it do? And I'm like, okay. All right, Gambit. Hey, you doing some damage, y'all. And then Leech gets saved, and some of the Morlocks, they get saved. Then you think, all right, they're good, okay? Then, no, the Sentinels, they still coming after him. They still coming after him. They see him next to Magneto, and it's like Omega-level threat. You know, they trying to take him out. It's like, oh, we about to focus on Magneto. And part of me wonders if Magneto allowed Leech to run. Well, they have messed with him, but it's like you couldn't take that risk. And plus, the young lad was frightened to death, man. And so Magneto, he had him and the other Morlocks, you know what I'm saying? He created the magnetic bubble around him. And normally that can protect them from anything. But these Sentinels, like I say, man, they was relentless. They prepared. They came prepared, man. They like, oh, yeah, we ready for y'all, man. And, you know, you see Leech, you know, he's probably thinking, you know what? Yeah, Magneto got me. He got me. And then it's like, man, I don't think Magneto can take him. He's looking up at Magneto, and Magneto had a face of worry, but he told him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, in German, but don't be afraid. And, man, I felt that, man. I felt that. I'm like, what else do you tell a child that you're trying to protect from the monster and you can't stop the monster? Like, there's only a few things you can really tell that child. It's like, run, get away, but he wasn't in a position to run away, to run to safety. You know, like, what else do you tell him, you know? You know, can pray to our Heavenly Father, you know, but hey, don't be afraid. We don't know what it's like when you die, all right? Because once you die, you die. You on the other side. So that scene right there, that was powerful. That was deep, and it was powerful, man. And also the whole scene, you know, well, then Gambit, well, Rogue sees this, and she's in furious rage, you know, and I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, but you about to charge in at the Sentinels. Okay, what the hell are you going to do? You about to commit suicide. You may be able to take one of those heads out. But Gambit, man, Gambit, I'm like, so what are you doing? Gambit on the motorcycle, and he charged it up. Boom, knocked Rogue out the way. And then he went in, and I'm like, oh, shit. It's about to go down. What my boy about to do? Let him cook. They letting him cook. I've been asking for more Gambit, giving him epic moments. I've been asking for that. Let him cook. And he's getting ready to cook. And he was like, the odds are always in his favor, which they are. Boom, boom, boom. He goes up. He hit him with the Jimmy Doll shake and bake. Go right. Then I'm going to show you left. Then, oh, you think I'm going to go right? But I'm actually going left, and I'm going up by the two-fisted windmill slam on your yickadee on your ass. And boom, they stabbed him. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. My kids used to watch Thomas the Train, y'all. And when Thomas the Train, he had his moments. He was like, oh, no. And I'm like, oh no, not Gambit. Oh. And then He looked up. And then Gambit looked up and he said, the name's Gambit, mon ami. Remember it. And right before he did that, of course, he charged, like, of course, anything that he could charge up anything and turn into an explosive. And he turned himself into an explosive. He charged up the whole, it wasn't a spear. It was like a tentacle, kind of, like Doc Ock or whatever. But it was connected to the damn Sentinel. He charged all of that up. And boom, exploded. He had that smile on his face. And it's like, okay. I'm like, all right, Gambit. And I'm like, oh, man, I hope he's not dead. Nah, please don't tell me he's dead. Nah. You can't kill my boy. You got to let him bask in the ambiance of his joy. You know what I'm saying? Then you see Rogue holding him. She's holding him without her glove. Said she can no longer feel his heart. She can't feel you. Sugar, I can't feel you, sugar. You know? Now, my boy Chris, hey, check this out. He mentioned, he was like, yeah, Rogue could have killed him, touching him with her hands. And it's like, I didn't think about that. Like, let's say he was just unconscious, all right? You know, let's just say he was just severely wounded or whatever, right? And if she's touching him with her bare hands, shit, you killing him, you know? Part of me was thinking, you know, I remember somebody said in the comics where Professor Xavier mentioned that Gambit would be an Omega level mutant if he ever realized his potential. And a lot of times in life, with our potential, you know what I'm saying, it can be unlocked through tragedy, because it's something that causes us to reach our full boiling point, to the point where we just become furious with so much anger that it, you know, it gets us into action mode to go from a 5 to a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, you just unleash it all out. You don't withhold anything else. And it can take you to higher levels, you know what I'm saying? You got to, you know, it's just like you ever worked to your max, ever exercised and worked out and lift to your max or ran to your max. Yeah, you tired at the end of the day and you're recovering, but the next day you're like, man, you know what? I can go a little bit further. I can push the envelope a little bit further. I can push it even more. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you see a loved one go. You ever seen those videos where a mom is lifting up a car because their kid is stuck up under it? But if their kid wasn't stuck up under it, or somebody else wasn't stuck up under it, they wouldn't been able to lift it, even if it was their own self. Because it's like, there's no more self-preservation. You know, the chains have been broken. Your mental chains, your physical chains, your spiritual chains have been broken. So it's like, I'm about to unleash the beast on you. And I'm thinking, man, this is about to take Gambit to Omega level mutant. And see, when the Sentinel had turned his head around and said Omega level mutant detected, it's like, I thought it was pretty obvious about Magneto, but I thought they were saying that about Gambit, like something about to be unleashed. But then it showed you it obviously was looking at Gambit. But, you know, like for a moment there, I'm like, uh-oh. But man, and Rogue, listen, Rogue, I love Rogue, but I hate Rogue too. You playing these dudes, man. Magneto wanted you to be the queen. All right, you said you don't know. You told Remy you was going to do that. And then you publicly, like, embarrass Remy right there. Where you, it's one thing to come out there, you dancing with Magneto, but you came out there making love to Magneto. You know, you doing that stuff that Usher does with other people's spouses or whatever, that when he's at his concerts. You know, you doing all that. You doing what Usher was trying to do to Alicia Keys at the Super Bowl halftime show until she told him, nah, player, watch out. So that right there I thought was uncalled for. I'm like, okay, man, she don't got to rub it in. And then you see the face that Remy LeBeau has, that Gambit has on there. He's disappointed. He's getting ready to walk off. And you see Madeline Pryor, like, you know, she sees that and stuff. And it looked like she felt bad for him. And I'm not going to lie, for a moment, I thought she was going to make love to him mentally, you know what I'm saying? Like she was doing with Cyclops, you know? But, because I thought she felt bad for him. I'm like, all right, well, you know what? Hey, you and Madeline Pryor, hey, y'all be with each other, you know? That let do that, you know what I'm saying? But No, it didn't happen. You know, well, you know what? I think it possibly was going to happen because she walked off. And then that's when all of a sudden you see Cable. Cable, not Xfinity, Cable. And he says, I'm too late. I'm too late. And she recognized that was Cable. But when she touched his mind, because she was trying to figure out, like, you know, hey, what is he talking about? You know, she realizes, she's like, those eyes. And she was like, you made it. She's like, you're our son. And then I don't know if he just realized that was his mom or what, but he was like, I'm sorry. You know, it was too early. You know, it reminded me of that scene in Batman versus Superman where Flash, he popped up and he was too early. You know, where he popped up and from the future to warn Bruce about not trusting Superman and saying that Lois Lane is the key. Yeah, you know, it reminded me of that. So, and it got me thinking, you know, that, you know what? He's going to be able to come back and retcon this and reset that, you know, hopefully. So, but man, that. There's a lot going on, man. A whole lot going on, dude. I mean, oh, man. Like, they showed us the origin story of Rogue and Magneto's romance. And it's like, whatever, man. Like, what else? Whatever. I mean, I don't want to see that, you know? I don't want to see that, man. They playing this out too much. Like I said before, and I'll say it again. I remember when I was a teenager and I saw that comic had Rogue and Magneto. I was like, yuck, ew, where the hell's Gambit? But it is what it is. But back at the X-Mansion, like, man, Cyclops, man, that, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. So Cyclops, you know, Cyclops is in a love triangle with two genes. Like, he's been mentally messing around with Madeline Pryor, you know, and I don't know if that's intentionally or not, but because it's like, he can't tell the difference, you know. Madeline and Jean, they have the ability to be able to manipulate you, a person, and I'll say the only way that he should be able to tell the difference is, like, after 5 minutes of no more than a minute of performing action, if she hadn't passed out, then that ain't Gene. That's Madeline. He should know that. Yeah, we all know that, man. But, yeah, that was wild. I'm not going to lie. I thought that was the real Gene until the real Gene busted in his mind. And it was like, oh, this is what you're doing? You know, and I get it. They do have a child together. And when you think about it, like, Gene, even before all that, like, she kept playing Cyclops and Logan against each other. Like Laurie on The Walking Dead was playing Shane and Rick against each other, man. It's ridiculous, you know? And that's why Wolverine was like, something's off about Jean or whatever in the beginning of the season, because Jean used to look at him a certain kind of way. But Madeline, she wasn't trying to rock with him. She wasn't trying to rock with Logan. No. She wasn't trying to rock with him like that. But the fact that Jean was, you know, she straight up started kissing on Logan, and had Logan not stopped her, oh, they would have been doing a whole lot more. But Logan had said, hey, man, you need to go talk to the Boy Scout. Y'all go work on y'all stuff, man. And then, you know, she then goes calls out Scott. And it's like, all right, you call him out, but what about what you was just doing? He has no idea. He has no idea, but you have, you know, you knew what was going on right there. You could mentally read him, and justifiably so. But, you know, look what you was just doing, Wolverine, man. But, you know, they're going through a whole lot right there, man. So it's like, man, I'm not one for all this drama, especially in my cartoons and my animated shows, especially when it's supposed to be about that action, boss. But it is what it is. Hopefully they'll get that resolved. See, in the comics, he was messing around with Emma Frost. And what's crazy, like, Emma Frost was sitting at the table when Madeline Pryor was like, when they finally was like, "What's wrong with you, Madeline?" After Jean had busted him. You know, Emma Frost was like, "Oh yeah, I see what you're doing." Cause, hey, she's a psychic too. So, but yeah, also back at the X Mansion, all this stuff is going down while they're being interviewed. You know, there's a national, piece is being done on them, highlighting the X Mansion and all that. And that's when Cyclops, I was about to say he had a viral moment, but I can't call it viral because it's a 9-7. You're not going viral. Now, our version of viral back then at 9-7 is that, you know, that interview that he did where he just went off and he snapped. That's going to be played all over TV and stuff, all over the local news, national news, and TV shows and all of that, right? You're going to have comedians talking about that, you know, and all that. You know, a lot of people on the radio shows, they're going to be talking about that. And yeah, Scott picked the wrong time to do that, man, to lose his head, to lose his cool. But imagine if that would have happened in this day and age. Oh, that would have been all over the place. You know, but maybe there's some type of mutant that has social media powers where they can control and manipulate anything social media, no matter what. That'd be pretty powerful, man. You could rule the freaking world with that. But yeah, man, but this series, man, it, my boy Gambit, man, he got his moment, man. Remember it. You're going to remember. You have no choice but to remember that. You're going to remember him. I mean, like, it's one of those things where it's like, it was such a noble death. It's like, I mean, if Cable can't bring them all back, can't bring them back, then okay. I mean, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But hey, it's that was an epic moment, man. That was one of the most noblest and epic deaths I ever seen in my life. I'm telling you, I haven't cried like that on, from a character dying on a show, since Opie got killed, and when he sacrificed himself for the sake of his team, for his for Sam Crow, his Sons of Anarchy. And that happened about 10 years ago. Well, I tell you what, it happened about 10 years ago, but for me, because I didn't start watching Sons of Anarchy until about 2014, so I binge watched it. So, but I'm not sure what year that episode came on. I'm gonna have to go back and check. But yeah, I was butthurt on that, man, big time. Oh man, let me chill out before I bust out crying and stuff, man. You know, that was epic for me, man. That was epic. Like, that was epic. That was, for me, man, that was just like prime dying, man. Like, goddamn, man. That, like, damn. Epic death, man. Epic death, man. And the dude did it in style, too, man. That's what I'm saying, man. Gambit, let me tell you something. I was telling my wife about it, and for her to get the full impact of it, it's like you have to understand how, for me, well, number one, you got to understand the type of character that Gambit is. He's a wild card character, all right? He's the wild card character, you know, and you know, like, he can go from not appearing in a couple episodes, and then when he finally appeared, you're like, man, why they don't have him in here more? You know, he's almost like the, you know, you never see him coming. You know, like, because initially, I mean, he wasn't supposed to had gotten him at all, you know, the screen time he did get in the X-Men animated series or whatever. He was a new character, but then audiences, you know, they loved his character. They liked his character, so they started including him more. And, you know, it was like, okay. And you know what I'm saying? His character, he reminds me of two characters who were created like that in their respective shows. One, Dylan McKay, 90210, and Daryl Dixon in The Walking Dead. You know, people forget that Dylan McKay, he wasn't there to be a regular. He was there, you know, to be in a few episodes or whatever, but everybody loved his character so much. They loved what his character brought to the table. And the same thing with Daryl Dixon. His character wasn't in the comics. They created his character. Norm Reedus done a real great job with him, and people liked his character, you know. And then they started developing more stories with him, you know, and they rolled with it, you know. They gave him some of the main storylines that's in the comics. So, you know, that was pretty cool. And so to me, Gambit, he's a combination of Daryl Dixon and Dylan McKay. So imagine those, one of those two characters, or those two characters in their respective shows, doing the ultimate sacrifice, you know what I'm saying, and getting killed. It's going to have the same impact. Well, for me at least. So that's why I'm like, man, dude, that, like, he's a wild card like Daryl and Dylan McKay. You know, like, he got that swag just like them. Except that, you know, he got that. Daryl Dixon didn't display any charm, but he displayed some grit. Gambit got grit to him. But Dylan McKay, you know, he had that smooth, slick gritness to him. And, you know, he was like a bad boy. Not Puff Daddy bad boy, but, you know. And, you know, the way Dylan McKay would dress at times, when we first introduced to his character, he'll wear, like, the long coat or whatever, like Gambit. And his hairstyle kind of reminded me of Gambit. Like, as a matter of fact, back in the day, I always envisioned, I was like, if they ever did a live-action movie of X-Men, you know, Luke Perry could be Gambit, you know. But, yeah, man, it's... So, yeah, man, that hurt, man. I'm in my feelings on that, man, for real. I am all up in my feelings on that, bro. Like, goddamn, man. But Rogue, man, you playing those two dudes against each other, man. That's not cool, man. That's not cool. Now you got nobody. You got nobody. But it's probably going to be on to the next for her. You know, where the hell was Morph? They sure could have used Morph. Because Morph ass, he was handling up on those Sentinels a bit. But, you know. But did I talk about when Magneto was whooping them with the train? You know, first thing I'm thinking about is whoop that trick. Get a whoop that trick. Did I talk about that yet? Okay, I don't know. But, man, yeah. I watched that episode. I watched it the last, like, about 7 or 8 minutes of it, about 3 or 4 times. Probably gonna watch it a few more times too, man. Like that was just pure epic, man. Pure epic. Pure epic. I'm gonna have to start doing reviews of each episode or whatever. I know I'm starting from 5 and going on. I might go back to the other ones, you know, because everybody probably hadn't seen those. But what the hell? I think I'm gonna do that. Not today, but check out the podcast soon. You know, I got to do some weekly episodes on that, man, because the guy who created it, who created the episode, he had mentioned that, oh, that's nothing. There's more to come. And I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. And I want to know also, man, who the hell sent these Sentinels? Because, you know, these Sentinels here, they wasn't metal. So who sent them? I'm going to have to go back and rewatch the whole episode because I'm pretty sure they mentioned it. It just went over my head, man. Went over my head, y'all. But anyways, thank you all for listening to me ramble and rant or whatever. I greatly appreciate it, man. This is therapeutic for me. Thank you all for tuning in. Hey, please hit that like and subscribe button. You know, check out, you know, wherever you get podcasts at, you can find the Student of the Game podcast. If you're on Apple, Google, you know what I'm saying, Spotify, all of that, you know, Amazon, you can find my podcast. Please like and subscribe it. Please like and subscribe to YouTube channel, TikTok, Student of the Game podcast. Peace out.